The critical questions of life are not, is it right? Is it destructive? Is it godly? Will I have to give an account at the end of my life? The critical answers in life is, will this make me feel good? And for how long? And that is apatheism, and we are eating it like there's no tomorrow. We are feasting up at the table of apatheism because we just devour this stuff through our media. Movies and music are rampant about stories of people who make immoral choices. Not because of their atheism, not because the characters in the movies don't believe in God, but simply because in the storyline, God does not make any difference at all. He is irrelevant. He is marginalized. He is not the sovereign, eternal Lord of heaven and earth before whom every person will one day stand and give an account of their life. He's just some, you know, who cares what he is? Doesn't matter to the story. And you know what? Because of this, American churches are filled with apatheists who don't even realize they're apatheists. There's actually a website called Church of the Apatheist. And their first question is, their first statement is, you're probably an apatheist and don't even realize it. And you know what? That's actually true. Because churches in America, they might have a cross on the door, but the way they live their life, they live as though they will never stand before God and give an account. They'll go through the motions of religion. They'll come in, they'll show up, but they still get drunk. They still fornicate. They still abuse each other with razor-sharp words. They still covet and lust and backbite against one another as though there were no God to give an account. I would say apatheism is probably the biggest religion in America. And it's discouraging to those who truly love God with all of their heart, who are living for Him with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, who want to see their family know Christ and to be saved, who want to see their friends and their family in heaven one day, who are just literally laying down their life for the sake of the kingdom. It can be discouraging when people who call themselves Christians are swept away by this thing. And I'm not singling people out saying this is a terrible person over here or anything. This is our generation. We are in the midst of it. There are times in my life when I live as though I'm an apatheist. When I get up in the morning, and I know, man, especially as a pastor, but even as a Christian, the first thing I ought to do is go to God and start my day off with Him. But, you know, frankly, I'm really busy, God, and, you know, you're just going to have to, where's my calendar? I bet I can get you in here somewhere. 8 o'clock tomorrow. Guilty. Anybody else? And so, this is just getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the question I'd like to pose to you today is, who is going to stand against this onslaught? Who is going to rise up above the noise and proclaim to God's people that their God reigns? To proclaim to the world that there is truly a Savior and a God who is glorious beyond description, who loves us with a love that we've never experienced in our lives beyond Him. Who is going to proclaim to them that life is not all about, you know, convenience and happiness and different things. Life is about loving God with all of our heart and soul and being loved by Him and enjoying Him and letting His glory fill our lives so that we bear His image to the world. That's what we were created to do, to bear the image of God and to enjoy Him forever. Who is going to rise up? Who is going to be a hero? That's what this church needs. That's what the world needs right now. They need heroes of the faith. Have you ever considered yourself a hero? Anybody want to stand up and say, I'm a hero? Check me out. Faster than a speeding bullet. That's me when I fall asleep at night. You know, I sit down in front of the TV, I'm asleep faster than a speeding bullet. Have you considered yourself a hero? Do you feel God calling you to heroism? To rise up and take a stand against the onslaught of the enemy because it's real and it's there and they are coming for us and for our children. Does anybody here feel like God might be calling them? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm speaking rhetorically. Anybody here feel like you were made for such a time as this, and this is your moment, and this is your hour, and God is calling you to rise up, if you've never done it before, but to take a stand and to say, I'm going to stand up for Christ. I'm going to raise my voice, and you are not going to drown me out. I'm going to shine the light in the darkness. I am going to be the voice of reason in a world of insanity. and I'm going to make my stand. I would like to challenge you today. If God is calling you to do that, if there's a still small voice inside of you that is saying, God, life has got to be more, there's got to be more than to life than simply this 8-hour a day routine that I'm going through. God has called me to a greater destiny to that, and I want to grab hold of it with everything inside of me. If that's you today, then I would invite you to consider what Scripture has to say. I know I've gone all the way around the barn to get there, but we want to look at a hero today. Scriptures, we're going through the book of Acts. We're coming to a passage where God gives us a vivid picture of a hero of the faith. And I pray that as you see him today, the vision that God has for you would burn into your heart until you just cannot escape it. That you would rise to his call and that you would be the church that he has called us to be. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Acts 18:24. We'll go ahead and put it up on the screen. This is a guy who came to the aid of his brothers and sisters in Christ and strengthened them when they were under blistering fire. The people that they were up against in their community at that time were just devastating them. They had power and money and influence. If you professed faith in Christ in the community back then, you were thrown out of the synagogue. You could no longer do business in the community. Your family ostracized you and your friends wouldn't talk to you anymore. And they were coming under a blistering attack. And they were going down until this man showed up. And his name is Apollos. Anybody ever heard of him? Apollos? Okay, a couple people. We're going to check him out today. Now, just to give you a little bit of background to this, last week when we were going through the book of Acts, as we're doing, this is part like 37 or something, Paul was at Corinth. He was preaching down there. In the meantime, he leaves there. He takes Priscilla and Aquila with him. Then he's got to go to Jerusalem, so he leaves them in Ephesus. And he's got to go to Jerusalem to take a lock of his hair and burn it in Jerusalem. I kid you not, that's what he had to do. He's like, you stay here, I made a vow, I just got a haircut, I have to burn it before the priest with the burnt offering in Jerusalem. That's what they did back then during the Nazirite vow. Weird as it sounds, oh well. So anyway, he takes off, he's headed down the road, here's Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus, and this is what happens next. Verse 24. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, which is in Egypt, northern Africa, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, going back to Corinth, in other words, he wanted to go leave Ephesus and go back to Corinth, the brethren wrote and exhorted the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Okay, so here you have this guy Apollos. Not Apollo Creed, you know, if you're thinking Rocky and all that kind of stuff. Apollos, he's probably wearing a toga or something like that. Apollos, and he's in Ephesus, and he's an eloquent man. He's a dynamic speaker. He's a powerful man. And he knows the way of the Lord. He's a godly man. He knows the walk of righteousness. And he's living that out. And his life is a bright shining light as an example. And it says he only knew the baptism of John. So he might have known a little bit about Jesus. He knew that John the Baptist said, repent, the kingdom of God is coming. He probably heard that John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He probably knew that there was a Messiah that was about to arrive, and in the person of Jesus, he had arrived. And so he was preaching his guts out about this. Man, he was just telling everybody powerfully that the Messiah has come. But there was a little part that was left out. Something about him dying and rising from the dead. He hadn't heard that part yet. So, you know, his knowledge wasn't really complete. It was almost there, but they left out this little fact about his death and resurrection and the fact that he ascended to the right hand of God and poured out the Holy Ghost. Okay. Other than that, he was pretty much on spot. So, Priscilla and Aquila take him aside after they hear him. They kind of fill in the blanks for him. They said, you know, hey, Apollos, dude, man, I love you, brother. You know, you're a great guy. But, you know, by the way, here's what happened. And they explained to him the way of God more accurately. They told him, look, Jesus died. But he rose again. Not only that, he is Lord of all. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is seated at the pinnacle of heaven. And he has poured out his Holy Spirit to give eternal life to whoever will believe in him. And Apollo just gets fired up, man. This truth just explodes inside of him. It goes right to the core of his being. And if this man was on fire before, now he is just like an atomic bomb. Now, Priscilla and Aquila just came from Corinth, so they knew the brethren were getting hammered down there. They knew they were under blistering fire. And so they probably shared with them, by the way, Apollos, you know, while you're here in Ephesus, it's great, but you know, we got some folks back there that could really use a guy like you to help them out. And he said, send me, man. Right now, I'm gone. Just consider me gone. I'm there. And he takes off and he goes to Corinth, and I can just picture him walking in the synagogue. You know, old Apollos probably said, stop! Hammer time. He brings out the hammer of truth and just wails on these people. Says, you know, what are you doing? You know, this is the truth. And just, you know, you can just fill in the blanks. You can imagine the rest. Bam, da-da, da-da, da-da. This guy was a hero. Because by the time he got done in Corinth, man, the tables had turned and the believers were just growing exponentially. In fact, some people just said, man, we just want to start our own church, you know, the Apollos church. Man, he's our guy. We're just going to follow him. The heck with Paul, that boring old little guy, you know. Can barely see you anyway, man. I like this Apollo guy. He tore the place up, set the place on fire. He was a hero of the faith. Now, the question is, how do you and I become like him? If you really feel called by God, if anything I'm saying is witnessing in your spirit today, and you're saying inside of yourself, God, is it me? Is it really me that you want to use? Could I possibly be the one the Holy Spirit is speaking to? Because you know what? Man, I am against all this garbage that's coming down the pipe, man. I don't want anybody coming in and taking my children from me. I don't want anybody stealing my future from me. I believe in Christ and I'm going to stand for Him. I'm going to be a light in the darkness. If that is you today, how in the world can we be like this man? I believe God lays it out for us very clearly. I want to break it down into four brief parts for you. I know this has gone on a long time. I appreciate your patience. I'll try to get through these quickly.